We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Welcome back, Virtually Limitless. This is your co-host, Justine Mader, and we are so excited to be bringing just a gem of a soul to the show for you guys to listen to. We have Laura Otting here with us today, and if you don't know her, you're going to be so glad that you've met her. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, Justine. It's great to be here.
Oh, we're so excited. And for those of you that don't know Laura, she is just the full embodiment of limitless. And we've had some other incredible interviews just all around this word. And what does it mean to you, Laura? Limitless is such a, there's so many levels. There's such a depth to everything it can hold. And I would just love for our audience to know you through that word.
So I had to tell you a quick little story is that, you know, my book is called Limitless, and it's called Limitless, How to Ignore Everybody, Carve Your Own Path, and Live Your Best Life. And I wrote the book around this idea of consonance, which is the opposite of dissonance, right? Consonance is alignment. It's flow. It's when the very best of what you do is being brought about to solve a problem that you care about, and you're being rewarded for solving a problem in a way that you actually find meaningful. And that's when the what you do matches who you are. That's when you're in alignment, you're in flow, you're in consonance. And I called a friend of mine. I was like, I'm ready to send the book to the publisher. And he was like, listen, you can't name your book Consonance because nobody knows what the hell that word means. And nobody's going to buy a book when they don't recognize the word on the front cover. So my book was going to be called Consonance, Doing Work That Matters. And he was like, okay, no. What do you want people to feel like when they're done reading this book? And I'm like, you know, I'm just so sick of everyone being so limited by everyone else's ideas of what they can do and how they should be and, you know, where they can get to in the world. And I just want them to just ignore all those idiots and just listen to their own self and their own definition of what success can be and just go live a great life already. And he's like, so you want them to be limitless, ignore everybody, carve their own path and live their best life? And I was like, yes. So that's what being limitless means to me. And that's why my book is called Limitless.
Oh, that's so cool. And it's incredible. You know, sometimes that outside looking in, that friend, that inner circle, that mentor, that leader, that coach that you turn to, it's so crazy how they can just sometimes take everything in your idea and just, and it's like, that's it. That's all I needed. Like, wow, that's so incredible. And I love that you shared that story because sometimes it's not perfect on the first shot, whether it's a book title, a course title, whatever it is.
He was literally like, Laura, three people, the Consonance is going to sell three copies and at least one, if not two of them are going to be used. And maybe all three of them are going to be to your mom. So we got to work on that. He's like, that book is way too good to sell three copies. So, you know, he helped.
And it's so funny because we do as a world, we still judge things by the cover. We still judge people. We still judge books.
Sure.
We judge so much of that by the cover. And so I love that he was, you know, encouraging you to consider the power that your cover still could have if you change it to better reflect what it is that you want people to feel and to have as an outcome. So that's super huge. You focused on the result of what this book will help with. So no, that's super, super powerful.
And you know, along the lines of having someone help you, like as we were batting around the ideas of what the book could be, he originally was like, it should be how to ignore everybody, run your own path and live your best life. And I was like, yeah. He goes, no, he goes, run isn't good enough. He goes, it should be like, build your own path. He's like, no, that's not good enough either. He's like, it should be cut your own path. He's like, no. He goes, you're like a kick in the ass wrapped in a warm hug, but you're sort of like, I'm going to punch you in the face, but in a super sophisticated velvet glove kind of way. It should be like, carve your own path. And I was like, yes. So sometimes you really just need somebody from the outside to just help you see the thing that is in there, but you can't pull out on your own.
Well, and I think there's that depiction of, I don't know, forgive me for not knowing exactly who it is, but there's this man carving himself out of a statue and, you know, carving himself from, you know, the wallows of fat that he was in, and sculpting his body to be healthy, fit, and, you know, everything that he was dreaming of. So I think of sculpting yourself as well, and just the power behind that word, that you were given something, and now what are you going to do with it?
Yes.
How are you going to use it? What do you want it to look like? And taking your God-given purpose and actually achieving it in the way that you can execute. And
yes.
So I love the power of choosing that word. And sometimes you have to go through the thesaurus, man, if I can say that word, and find out which one is truly the best example of what you're trying to get across the board. So I love the verb usage on and power behind that word. That's so powerful. So when you were in the process of getting this book out, you know, there's so much imposter syndrome around books nowadays. Why would anybody read a book? Why would they want to hear it from me? How did you get over those humps and boundaries? Because a lot of our listeners here today, they have a great brand, they have a great business, and sometimes their story just hasn't gotten out just yet, and they're afraid. How did you get over that imposter syndrome?
So it's sort of a funny question, because I kind of came to writing the book in a little bit of a backwards way. Limitless was my second book. I actually wrote a book in 2004 about going from corporate work to nonprofit work, because at the time I was running an executive search firm that worked specifically in the nonprofit sector. Oh, wow. And the reason I wrote that book is that I got a phone call from Kaplan Publishing one day, and they were like, hi, we are doing a book series about changing your career. We've got one about going into teaching, one about going into nursing, and we want one that's going to be about going into the nonprofit sector. Do you want to write it? And it was like, manna from heaven, like, you know, here's 20 grand. We need the book in 6 months, 60,000 words, go. And it was like, I'm sorry, wait, what? And I thought it was like a crank phone call. And I called a friend of mine who's in publishing. I was like, is this legit? And he's like, yeah, congratulations. You just got a book deal with zero work. He's like, how'd they find you anyway?
Right.
And I said, well, I got a phone call from this editor who said, we're writing this series. And I did a little Googling and I saw an article, a blog post you wrote online. And it seems like you know what you're talking about. So do you want to write this book? Now, here's the trick. Here's the trick. I wrote a 3-paragraph blog post about switching from corporate to nonprofit work, and I put it on my own damn website. So the world thinks you're an expert when you tell them you're an expert, right? I'm the Wizard of Oz. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. It turns out I actually happened to know what I was doing. So lucky them, I'd already been doing this work for 15 years when they offered me the book deal.
Fair point.
I knew what I was doing, but I don't think they could have gotten that from a three paragraph blog post. So I put it out there. I got offered to write the book. I wrote the book. That went out. Done. Never plan to write another book again. But then I sell the business to the women who helped me build it, which is a whole other, you know, entrepreneurship story. And I got asked to do a TEDx. And I got asked to do a TEDx because I had no idea what I was going to do next. I had this crisis of identity when I'm no longer, you know, my full name's Laura Gassner Otting, and all my good friends call me LGO. So like when I'm no longer LGO CEO, here's my business card.
Oh, I like that ring.
Right?
Man, that's so catchy.
But who am I when I'm not that catchy LGO CEO? Yep. And I had this moment of like, I don't know. And then I was chairing an arts auction for a local nonprofit. And I got introduced by a good friend of mine who is a local TV anchor woman. And she's like, here's my good friend, Laura. She dedicates her life to philanthropy. Remember, at this time I'm retired. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if I want to stick a fork in my eyeballs or her eyeballs, but I cannot be known as the woman who dedicates her life to philanthropy. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it just was incomplete,
correct,
right? That was not my life. Like it's always been a huge part of my life, but all of a sudden I was reduced to only that.
But not in its entirety.
Right. Yeah. And I looked around the room at all the like ballers that were in the room. And I was like, they just diminished me in their minds by thinking of me like that. And I was like, this can't be. Mm-hmm. So I went home that night. Maybe I had a few too many cocktails at the art auction, and I bought the URL Laura Gassner Otting, and I just started writing about stuff that was infuriating me in the world. And one of the things I wrote about was about how we don't solve the big problems in the world because we're asking the wrong questions. And then I got asked, a friend of mine who happens to be the executive producer of TEDx Cambridge, the second largest TEDx outside of Big TED, she asked me if I'd be willing to do a TED Talk. And I was like, no, that's terrifying. I do not like to speak in public. I'm a raging introvert. No, thank you. Never. Goodbye. And I hang up the phone. My then 13-year-old is sitting next to me because we're in the car. I took it on speakerphone because, you know, good mom.
Yes.
Because, you know, good mom. He turns to me and says, "So mom, don't you always tell me I have to do scary things? And don't you always tell me that if it doesn't challenge me, it doesn't change me? And don't you always tell me that life starts on the other side of the fear?" And I was like, yes, right? The kid decides to,
wow,
can't pick up his socks from the living room, but he listens to that. So,
wow.
Like, so what gives, mom, huh?
Oh my gosh.
So oh my 6 weeks later, I'm standing on the stage, 2,600 people, three mezzanines, gold gilded walls, crystal chandeliers, Boston Opera House, delivering 12 minutes of a memorized speech, which is my first speech I'd ever given in my life. And I crushed it for like 11 and a half minutes. And then there's a moment where you see me like look off stage left. And if you know me, you're like, she doesn't know what she's supposed to say next. And I didn't. And I forgot my next line. But then I remember the line after that. And I finished and it was fine and it was good. I can't watch it right now anymore because I'm like, here's me as a TED talker. It's very, very like now I get on stage and I'm like, cocktail party me. Totally cool. But that talk got some attention, which got some attention, which got some attention, which got me offers to speak. And I got offered.
Incredible.
Somebody called me from Boise, Idaho. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. And they're like, would you come speak at our event? We can give you $1,500 round trip airfare. We'll put you up with a local Marriott and you can 45 minutes. So I fly out there. I give a speech. They give me a check for $1,500. They give me a baseball cap with a potato on it, a deck of cards that have like little potato recipes on every card. And then I leave and I'm like, wait, this is like, I come out here, I speak for 45 minutes and then I go home and there's no homework and you just pay me and that's it. Like, tell me more.
I like
this job. So then I got offered more and more and more and more speaking gigs. And when I was starting to get on stage for $10,000 and $15,000, I noticed that all the people at $20,000 and $25,000 and $30,000 for speaking all had books. So I was like, I should probably get me one of them.
Yep.
Because I have a book for the people who know it. I'm the nonprofit girl, but I haven't done that for 5 years. I'm not even in the nonprofit sector. It's not even a thing that I talk about anymore. Mm-hmm. So where you know I have it, there's brand confusion. And if you don't know I have it, then you're like, why doesn't she have a book? Is she really legit? So sure. I kind of backed into writing the book because of that. Now that book debuts at number 2 on the Washington Post bestseller list. Out of nowhere, I have zero people on my mailing list. And I have this phenomenal, like, you know, viral sensation of a book. And now I'm writing the next book. And now I'm like, my brilliant idea for the next book is crap. Maybe the crap idea for my next book is brilliant. Maybe I'm going to ricochet back and forth between the two, like a feral animal trapped in a broom closet, because that's the imposter syndrome I feel now, which is like, how do I recreate magic?
Yes. You are magic. So I don't think you should have any issues with that, but I know so many, I know that these are the thoughts that people are having right now, because everyone and their friend has a book and they're like, well, what do they need to hear from me? And so I love that you shared so transparently the fact that we're all going to have that moment. We're all going to have those kind of demons, gremlins, or whatever you want to call them in your head, where it's like, oh, do I go right? Do I go left? Do I go in between? Do I go straight down the middle? Like what? And so it's one of those things where just staying true to what and who you are, I think, is going to be the best guiding light for you to do, because you were that first book that you wrote. That's who you were at that time.
Yes.
What you were doing at that time. That does not mean that has to be where you stay. So yes. For those of you that are locking yourselves in the prison of, oh, this is my identity, this is what I was, that does not mean that's who you are or who you were meant to be.
Yes.
So I think Laura is just huge living proof of evolving growth and change. And I just hope that truly inspires our listeners today to be like, hey, everyone's in the trenches. Everyone's doing it. Some people just don't admit to it.
Well, and also like, why do people want to hear from me? Well, why don't they want to hear from you?
Oh yeah.
Like, why not? Like, why shouldn't they hear from you? I mean, I like, look, I love straight white dudes. I'm married to a straight white dude, but like, yes. I wish on all of my all female audiences, the confidence of a mediocre straight white dude, because I mean, my husband's not mediocre, but let's just talk about the number of mediocre straight white dudes that are out there that get promoted and get praised for confidence when we women have to show competence in spades all the time in order to get something done. So yeah, like why not you? Everyone has their own magic. Everyone has their own thing that they can do. Like what you can do, Justine, that you think is intuitive, so it doesn't feel like magic to you, mm-hmm. is completely magical to me. I mean, my husband mm-hmm. works in finance. I work in words. Like he adds a column of numbers and I'm like, you might as well have levitated me off the ground. It's like,
right?
And with me, like I can get up on stage and speak and write for days. And he's like, how do you do that? That's amazing.
Because
it's so intuitive, we tend to discount it. So people need to hear your voice. Your voice really matters.
And there's someone that needs what you have because it's not in their toolbox. And I love thinking of our gifts and talents as tools, because everything in life can be a tool if we use it wisely and if we wield it with intentionality. And if intentionality is a word, I'll have to check my dictionary. But you see, like, so some, you know, technical speaking things too for you, it's one of those things you found the way that, yeah, I'm not a straight robot speaker anymore. I'm going to have a party on stage because that's what I want to do. I want to have fun. I want to be lively. I want to create that relationship connection. Like, that's where you embrace yourself in the truest form of your gift. And that's when you are the most powerful, the most impacting across the globe. And even with 2020, I would love to get your thoughts on this too. I think women personally, I support our men 100% as well, but I think women have been really caused to take a step back and be like, whoa, I want to be home more often. I want to have my kids. I miss going to school. There's so many elements that, you know, either way you look, the woman is kind of darned if you do, darned if you don't. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, you're not a stay-at-home mom, like all those things, there's no way to be right. What words of encouragement would you give the woman that's kind of in that identity crisis that you were talking about, where she's nothing without being in her high heels at the desk? She's nothing without, you know, and this doesn't have to be for just parents, you guys. This is for all women. Like, what would be your few words of just the experience that you've had? What would you give them to look towards?
So I'm going to get a little personal here on this one, because I had a real problem with COVID. I mean, I make my living now as a speaker.
Yeah.
I get on planes, I go to big events, and I speak on stage. Insert COVID, there's no more planes, there's no more big events, and there certainly are no more stages. Mm-hmm. So what do? I sold my business to the team of women who helped me build it, as I mentioned, and I spent the last 5 years building this next platform. And the idea was that I sold the business for an amount of money that gave me a 5-year runway, a year and a half to figure out what the hell I wanted to do when I grew up, a year and a half to understand how to do it really well, and then a year and a half to start turning a profit on it. And I had just turned the corner where I was starting to turn a profit, and it was all coming together, and global pandemic. Okay, kind of a problem. So I spent the first couple months of the pandemic kind of having a massive pity party over, you know, the fiery embers of my now destroyed speaking career. And the entire time basically blaming everybody. You know, it's COVID's fault. It's the politicians' fault for thinking about political expediency instead of, you know, the hard yards of actually anything, masks, anything, science, whatever it is. It's my neighbor's fault because, you know, they're being selfish and having people over. It's the spring breakers' fault for, you know, deciding to go on, you know, to Daytona Beach when they should just like stay home. We could have gotten over it. I was angry. It's everybody else's fault. It's COVID's fault. And then I woke up one day and I was like, you know what? It's not COVID's fault. It's my fault. My business tanked because it was my fault. Because I had, and here's the meta moment, right? Limitless is all about how we strive and we strive and we strive to reach success, only to not be happy and fulfilled when we get there, because we're striving for someone else's version of success, some scorecard that somebody handed us at some point, a parent, a teacher, a friend, the Kardashians on Instagram, somebody who told us that we had to do something. And so this idea that success only has to look one way, and then we get there, we're not happy because it's not our version of success. Well, I was defining speaker. I am a speaker only as I get on planes, I go to events, and I speak on stages.
Powerful.
And then one day I woke up and I was like, you know what? I've got a webcam. I've got an internet connection. I got a microphone. And that bucket list event of 10,000 people that I was crying that I was going to miss, that ain't nothing compared to the 100,000 people I could reach over the internet. So
Amen.
I just started going on like Facebook Live, and I started talking to people, and I was like, if you show up tomorrow, I'll show up tomorrow. Like the whole time I was like, tap, tap, tap. Is this thing on? How does the lighting look? What about I was just testing out my equipment. Fast forward a couple of months of doing that, And all of a sudden, I start getting rebooked for virtual gigs, like virtual events. People are like, I guess we're going to be in this for a while. Let's just do it virtually. And I started doing them, and I had all the equipment, and I knew what I was doing, and I was comfortable in front of the camera. And friends of mine who had more than like lapped me in the actual speaking world were calling me up and saying, you know what? I was wrong. I thought you were crazy putting all the content out and just talking at your camera. He's like, but now I see you and I see what you're doing. He's like, and you are so good at the virtual stuff. Whereas I'm now just finally accepting it and figuring it out. Yeah. And so what I would say to women who are like, I don't know who I am when I'm not like heels on at my desk, I would say, that's your own cage that you've created about who you think you have to be and who you think you are. So it's really defining who you actually want to be. And if you want to be the person with the heels on and at the desk, then you can recreate that and you can do it. And that's going to come back and that's fine. But if you have decided during this time that that's not actually what you want, when life returns to normal, the normal you're going to go back to isn't the life you want, then what a blessing this moment is. Because the entire world took a break and looked around and went, is this really who I want to be and how I want to be and what I want to be? And congratulations, if you were one of the few people who came out of this pandemic having evolved into who you actually want to become. That is something for which you should congratulate yourself for. And nobody's going to look at you and say, oh, I guess she's just slacking off or she couldn't cut it or she can't handle it. What matters to you? So, you know, what gives you consonance? What makes you feel whole? And here's the thing, as women, we get so many natural on-ramps and off-ramps in life.
Yes.
That why not take advantage of this one? Because it's not permanent. What you decide to do today isn't definitional of who you're going to be tomorrow.
No.
You can do anything you want to be, but you have to decide that you want to do it. And if you're insatiably hungry to stay home and raise your babies, then do that. If you're insatiably hungry to leave those little rugrats at daycare and go off to work, then do that. Totally cool. Doesn't have, like, nobody gets a vote but you. And we got to stop giving votes in our life to people who shouldn't even have voices.
Mm-hmm. And allowing yourself to listen to people that don't necessarily have authority in your life. And so I think it's huge. I think it's huge for people to realize that, you know, the worries and concerns of other people's opinions, those opinions will be there, but it's a definition of them. Yeah. And you have to work on defining you. And the only way for you to have that confidence that we were talking about, like Laura said, is to actually know that you know who the heck you are, you know, before you worry about what anybody else thinks you are or says you are or, you know, puts you out to be. And I think that's, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say, I we've all had that moment when we walk into the coffee shop and we say, hey, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. Let me tell you what I'm up to now. I've got this great idea, this big hairy goal. Yes. And you tell your friend that goal and they give you this look of like, you can't do that. That's too scary. Mm-hmm. And what they really mean is, I can't do that. Yeah. I'm too scared. But we hear it and we go, oh, maybe I should be scared. They think it's too scary. Maybe I should be scared. And here's what happens. I think when people hear your goals, they either react out of one, a place of love. They love you and they don't want to see you get hurt. Yes. Fine. I'm going to be 50 next week. And the last time I lived in the same house as my parents, I was 17 years old. I literally did not have a frontal lobe. I could not make good, sound, logical decisions. I did not have the mental capacity. I just didn't have it. So when I tell them my big goals, they're like, are you sure you want to do that? Are you, I don't really know. Have you really thought it through? Because they don't remember me as being a person who, you know, could pick up the socks from the living room floor. So
right.
Place of love. Fine. Great. Mm-hmm. Just like, let them be. Bless and release. Maybe it's out of a place of jealousy. Maybe you have people in your life who liked you when you were maybe smaller than them, or maybe at the same level as them. But when you're growing a little taller than them, they're like, they're not feeling so good. Right. So like you don't have to just bless and release. You can like bless and release and kick them to the curb. And then there are the people who just have that fear. They're like, I don't know. I could never do it. But I think that, you know, I agree with everything that you just said. The only thing that I would maybe expand upon is saying like, it's just know who you are and that's okay to be who you are. But I would say, and even if you don't know who you are, I think that's okay too. Yeah. But just make sure that you're asking the right people for their opinions. I call them my family. that combination of friends and family who are the ones who actually know what I'm made of.
I love that together. Yeah, family. Right? So your family.
Because like the people who know you best and want the best for you and know what you're capable of are not necessarily the people who raised you all the time. They may be, but they also may not be. And I think we tell ourselves lies. I think we tell ourselves that I'm not ready. Right? Yes. Like, it's not perfect yet. I can't do it. Well, you're never going to be ready. It's never going to be perfect. Just get going. Confession, I think we, perfectionism. Yeah. Yes, terrible. Totally. Terrible. I think we tell ourselves I might fail. Okay. Well, you might fail, but what happens when you fail? You pick yourself up, you figure it out, you do something else. Failure is not finale. It's fulcrum. It's where you learn and you grow and you innovate and you iterate and you get better. I gave this talk once, at Renaissance Weekend in Austin. And I said, failure is not finale, it's fulcrum. And then I looked to stage left and stage left was Commander Tim Kopra of NASA. Gone on not one, not two, but three spacewalks. And I was like, failure is not finale, it's fulcrum. Except for you, sir.
I love that.
For you, it would most definitely be failure, finale. But for the rest of us, as long as there is like oxygen in your lungs and blood in your veins, keep on going. It's okay. It's not finale. And then the last thing we tell ourselves is people won't like me when I'm the me I really want to be. And that one is actually not a lie. They might not like you. The lie we tell ourselves is that those people actually matter.
Wow. Wow, you guys, think about that. Wow. That's like a mic drop. And it's one of those things that, you know, at the end of the day, the number one thing that I encourage, you know, not only my clients and people that I talk to, it's like, you can't love others if you don't love yourself first.
Yes.
You can't serve others unless you serve yourself first. So you're giving them that power before you give yourself that power to matter. You're allowing them and their opinions to matter before you allow your opinions, your desires, and your dreams. And all of you know, I'm a believer. I believe that you were put here for a purpose. I believe that you have a God-given talent and message that only you can complete. Like, you're giving everyone else and their friend that power over you before you even grant yourself that power.
Yeah. You know, when Limitless came out, it got hundreds of 4- and 5-star reviews on Amazon. And then I got one 1-star review. And the 1-star review was something like, this book was really political. I hate the way that she told the stories. She seems to not be able to get, you know, over herself. How arrogant. And I was like, okay, my first job was working in the Clinton White House as a political appointee, helping build AmeriCorps. I told the story of that. It doesn't make the book political. It just happens to be my resume.
Did they get past that chapter?
I don't think they got past the chapter. And then the amount of times that I basically tell stories about when I was an idiot in the book, I'm like, how could you consider me arrogant? And storytelling, that one I really took issue with because maybe this is arrogant, but I think I'm a pretty decent storyteller. So I was like, oh, okay. But that, I mean, hundreds of 4- and 5-star reviews extolling the book about how it changed their life. And they wish they read it 10 years earlier and things that I was like blushing. I was like, I mean, literally I had somebody get a tattoo of the cover of the book on her arm. Like, the book has been meaningful to people, but that one 1-star review ate me up for months. I like could not get past it. I was so upset by it because we do. And so what happens is we give power over our happiness to people who, like, I wouldn't have, if she had written a 5-star review, it would have just gone into the sea of the other 4- and 5-star reviews. But because it was the one, I gave it so much power, and that's on me. Yes. That's all on me. Yeah. I gave her that power and she occupied my head rent-free for months until finally a friend of mine was like, if you ran into this woman on the street, would you have listened to her? I'm like, I wouldn't even know who she was. And he was like, exactly.
Dang.
Like, okay. Well, that's truth.
Good perspective to look it through. You know, guys, it's one of those things where, we've all been there, and there's always been that one person, that one moment, that one conversation that just totally shattered everything that you thought you had going.
Yep. But
you have to realize that you're allowing them to do that. Reclaim your power, reclaim your mind. Like you said, I let them live rent free. Like, kick, boot them out, boot them out. They have no place.
That's right.
Feeling your inner peace. And the thing is too, I loved earlier how you stated this. Part of my mission statement is also helping people achieve success according to their definition and making that their reality. So it's one of those things I would love for you to expound on that fact, because success is so it's so differently defined. Like, my success is not your success. And that's so beautiful. That's how we have I think the greatest harmony in, you know, life and business. And I would just love to know, when did that mission start for you? Like encouraging people to define their success. Like, was that when you were younger? Was that along the journey? Like, how did that happen for you?
So, it really like, so I went to go work in the Clinton White House, as I said. And then, after that went into a career in executive search, and about 5 years into that career in executive search, I had this moment of rage. I was like, I can do things better and smarter and faster and worth more authenticity and more integrity than like these old dudes in this old office and this old traditional business model. And I marched into my boss's office and I was like, there's a better way. And he was like, there's the door. And so he invited me to stay if I wanted to and to keep doing things his way. But at that point, I pretty much realized that I wasn't part of the solution, which meant that I was kind of part of the problem and I couldn't live with that. So I started my own firm. And I ran that for 15 years, as I said, until I sold it to my people. And over the course of those 20 years of doing executive search, I was hired by my clients to find the most successful people in the world at whatever it is that they were doing and to recruit them away to go work for my clients. So you would think that this job would be really hard, right? Find the most successful people, call them up for a job they didn't know existed in an organization they might not know existed. Certainly as a headhunter, they definitely didn't know existed before they picked up the phone.
For sure.
Except the job wasn't actually that hard because despite all that success, all those people weren't that happy. And they were all thinking, I'll be happy when I get the next job, the next level, the next organization, the next raise, the next corner office, whatever, the better view, whatever it was. Because that's what we're all told, right? We're all told that I'll be happy when, it's like those are the four worst words in the English language, right? There's always like one purchase, one diet, one, you know, marriage, one baby, one whatever away from happiness. So I started to notice that there was this, there was this chasm between success and happiness. And I was so interested in, as I mentioned, specifically, I was working with nonprofit organizations, foundations, universities, advocacy, political organizations. And you would think that those people would be happy because they were successful and they had purpose, right? Purpose writ large. And they weren't. And I started to notice that there were a handful of people that no matter what, when I called them for whatever job, however hard I tried to tempt them, I couldn't get them to jump. And I started to notice that they seemed to have some things in common. And then once I sold the company and I sort of had some time on my hands and I was blogging, I noticed that I had done some of the same things, that I had made very specific moves in my career. I dropped out of law school. I joined the Clinton campaign. I went to the White House. I left there at the, you know, height of my work there. I went to go work at this big firm. I became the youngest vice president in its history. And I left to start my own thing. And then I ran that for 15 years and then sold it to my people when I could have just sat there and walked off into the sunset and not really worked that hard for the rest of my life. And I started to notice that I had those things too. And what that was consonance. It was that, you know, what I did matched who I was. And I think consonance is made up of four things. And this is what I talk about in Limitless. It's made up of calling, connection, contribution, and control. So calling is that gravitational force. It's that thing that is bigger than you, that gets you out of bed in the morning. It might be a business you want to build. It might be a bottom line you want to grow. It might be a leader who inspires you. It might be a cause you want to serve. It might be a family you want to nurture. Whatever it is, your purpose. And we get purpose wrong because we think purpose has to be higher purpose or lofty purpose. When in fact, if your purpose is curing cancer, that's awesome. But if your purpose is buying a Maserati and a beach house, that's awesome too. Like, it's just your purpose. Who cares? Your purpose might just be, I want to work in this job and I want to get my family out of debt so that they could have more financial freedom and make decisions I couldn't make. Like, nobody gets that vote except for you. So calling is the first one. The second one, connection. And connection answers the question, does my work matter? If I didn't show up to work tomorrow, would anybody care? Would anybody notice? And can I see a direct line from the work that I'm doing, my inbox, my email, my to-do list, my calendar? Can I see a direct line between what is filling up my time to that calling that I want to serve? And a lot of times we get that connection wrong because we confuse busyness for impact. So we really have to think about whether or not the work we're doing is actually aligned and in line with that calling. The third part is contribution. So if connection is all about your work, contribution's really all about you. So how does this work contribute to the kind of life you want to have, the lifestyle you want to live, the money you want to make, the career trajectory that you'd like to have, the values you want to manifest on a daily basis? Does this work contribute to that kind of life? Does it allow you to be the person in the world that you want to be? And then lastly is control. And control is really just all about personal agency. Does this job allow you to put yourself on the right team, to work with the right people, to have the kinds of clients that you want, to sell the products that are interesting, to write the books, do the talks, to sort of have any control over how much your hustle brings in the income? Yeah. Can you control how much your work connects to the calling and how much it contributes to your life? And each one of us at every age and at every life stage want different amounts of calling, connection, contribution, and control. So Justine, you probably want a different amount of, you know, control over your schedule right now with a new baby than I want with a, you know, 16 and an 18 year old who are like three toes and eight toes out the door from college.
Yes.
That's a very different story. When I was young and dropping out of law school, I didn't care about contribution. I was getting paid all the ramen, soup, and idealism I could eat, but I had calling out the wazoo, right? It was amazing. But I had no connection. I was getting coffee for the guy who got the coffee for the guy who got the coffee, and certainly no control.
Yep.
But now, you know, I'm middle-aged. I've got teenage kids. I you know, when I fly to an event, I want to be able to get there like as quickly and efficiently and first class as possible. And I turn around and come right back home. And, you know, I'm a princess, right? So it's very different. And each one of us are going to define that version of success. Our consonants, mine's going to be different than yours, but mine was different than mine was at your age. It'll be different than mine's going to be 10 years from now. And so we have to give ourselves the grace to know that we're going to keep growing and changing and shifting, and the world around us is going to shift also. So figuring out your own personal rubric of consonants is going to be what will become your version of success for today, right now.
And I love that you just said today, because tomorrow it might be greater. Tomorrow it might be the same. Tomorrow, it might be anything.
Yep.
And I love that you mentioned as well, one of my big takeaways was movement doesn't always mean, you know, progress. And I think someone said it in those exact words, forgive me for not knowing whose exact quote that is. But it's one of those things that so much of the world and people were busy. And, you know, even with COVID, it really caused people to take that stop. Take that breath and be like, whoa,
yeah,
redefine, realign, and resume. Like,
yes.
I just think that's such a powerful move for people to make in order for them to become limitless. So thank you for sharing how you break that down so powerfully, because it's tangible, it's actionable. Any of us can do it every single day to really make sure that we're executing in the intentionality that we have towards who we desire to become.
Yes.
And every day we become. So that's so powerful. Where can they find more of you, Laura? You have been dropping gold and fire. I think we've left most people speechless at this point. So they're gonna need to process and like, whoo, okay, now I'm ready for more. Right?
It's very funny. I have so many people that I've done a podcast for, and they're like, God, I think usually people listen to my podcast at like 1.5 or 2 speed, but I think people are gonna listen to this one at like half speed.
Half speed. Oh, I love it. So good.
I know. I don't even drink coffee. Can you imagine if I was caffeinated, it would be like a horror show.
I think I'd have a hard time keeping up with you. That'd be an exercise.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. It's something. So, as I mentioned, my name is Laura Gassner Otting. All my good friends call me LGO. So I am at Hey LGO on all the socials, from LinkedIn to Twitter to Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse now. So I'm at Hey LGO. And if you want to go to heylgo.com, that's a shortcut to get to my website. If you're interested in the book, Limitless, How to Ignore Everybody, Carve Your Own Path, and Live Your Best Life, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go to bookshop.org if you want to celebrate your local bookshops. If you're interested, I actually also have put out a course recently that is at heylgo.com/learn. And it's about 4 hours of videos and exercises. It comes with a 70-page workbook that is beautifully printed, we'll send to you. And it will help you get unstuck and right on track.
Oh, that's so incredible, you guys. If you are trying to get unfunked, This is going to be a huge asset for you guys to consider for your life and business as an investment to move forward and to really reclaim what it is that you're setting out to do. We will have all those links in the show notes. So no worries, no questions. Just get to it, figure out what it is that you need and follow her. Cause Clubhouse, like you can't go wrong finding this lady on any of those socials. Clubhouse is super fun, but for any of you that are hanging out elsewhere, she's got options for you. So thank you so much, Laura, for being on Virtually Limitless. We're so excited that you were able to bring your message of Limitless to the show.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.